Okay, very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd of March, 2018. So it's the official briefing for our coming Cameron Highland 90 meditation retreat. The retreat will commence on the 16th of March until the 24th of March. So I will brief you all on the schedule and the program later on. In the program, you also have all the time that you need to arrive at the destination where the bus will pick you up. But those who are driving up themselves, you plan your own timing, because we have already scheduled the lunch for you. When you reach there, you will be able to have your lunch. So you can reach before 12:30 is the best. Then you have enough time. Then we plan to start the retreat at about 3 p.m. I was told there are some from Penang who may arrive late. But never mind, we plan it at 3 p.m. So at 3 p.m. we may start the puja and all those things first. So the rest, when they come in, they will settle down. Then maybe I will pass them some of the notes and the books. So tentatively, this is what we supposed to do. So you check again. You must have a set of the program notes, retreat program and notes, one set. Then 4 new books that has been just printed, and we set today to be the day for distribution, so that the committee who help to organize all this don't have to bring up all these books, so that you all can collect them first. But remember to bring along this book, Heart Sutta. Those who are already with us, you should have this book, Heart Sutta. Then the other one is this new book. Last year we printed it, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, the blue color one. You must have a copy and bring it up too. If you don't have, you can collect from here. Then for new people, you can collect the books from me. Then there are 2 chanting books. One is retreat version, the other one is the normal version. So you bring them along. So from now till the retreat, you have about less than 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. You read through the notes and the program. It will help you a lot. Then after the program, there is also a very good write-up, which I have formulated for you. This is based on the first retreat, I think, 2013. That retreat, I think, was cut short to 4 days because of the election or what, I forgot already. So below is a very good write-up by an anonymous Kayanimita to assist yogi attending meditation retreat there. We are sharing with them her own very useful and rather beneficial experience while there. You should read this. This will help you understand the condition there and how a typical yogi experiences the meditation, and it will help you to develop a lot of understanding. If I have time afterwards, I will go through with you all too. Then there are important short notes which we have compiled last year, and also some quite recent, beginning of this year. This short note is to enhance your understanding of meditation, so that when you are there, you know how to meditate. Then there is this lying down meditation, the pink book is very useful. You must understand that so that you know how to meditate. Basically, the lying down meditation is a improved version of what normal meditation is. But for normal meditation, if you are used to the sitting posture, you can also apply the same thing in the sitting posture. But the sitting posture has got more problem because your leg is crossed. When your leg is crossed, unless you know how to relax, like those who learn yoga, qi, will not flow smoothly at the joint where you cross your leg, then most yogi find it very difficult to relax. So the key to meditation is to have the ability to relax both body and mind. If your body cannot develop the ability to relax, all this qi flow will be constricted. When they are constricted, it will develop into what they call pain, numbness, and the various effects. So if you don't know how to relax into it, the qi cannot flow, then this will be like obstruction that will arise during meditation. And most of the time it becomes mental hindrance because you react to the sensation. You don't like the sensation because it's most of the time uncomfortable. Either it's a very painful sensation, or it has what they call this numbness there. And after long sitting in the same posture, you find it very difficult to endure. Then your mind starts to react to it. So you find it very difficult to enter the meditative peace, the inner calmness, the inner peace, to develop the meditation. So what you need to do is you learn how to relax body and mind. Then no need to worry about whatever that arises, whether it's the thought, whether it's the restless mind, or whether it's sleepiness, mental hindrance and all those things. Just let it be. If you do not give it any more attention or thought energy, all this will start to slow down on its own. Slow down on its own. Then you will settle down very fast. Then finally, all this movement, the emotion, the thought process, the reaction of mind, because you are able to accept them for what they are, you just relax into it, silent. Then it will return to the original state of stillness, the original state of mind before stirring, before the mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So all this will come about. Then you will feel very good, very calm, very peaceful. And that is the meditative mind. And that mind can meditate, can understand. So it's an extension. After the sitting, if you can do that, then you should find a posture that is most conducive. So the lying down is the most conducive where you are very relaxed. There is no cross-leg constriction of qi flow. Then you need to adjust on your own. Some prefer the face facing up, the ceiling, or looking upward. Some, they like to tilt to the right. Means those who tilt to the right, they will relieve their left side. Left side is where your gateway is. So if you don't cause any pressure on the left, then you can meditate more easily. Then some, they prefer to lean towards the right. It depends how your posture fits you. Yeah, everyone is different. But the best is to just relax facing upward, your head, your body, your head facing upward. And the details are all described in the Pink Book. So if you know how to meditate that way, you will progress very fast. So this year, the focus is teaching you how to realize this meditative state, the silent mind, the mind that is always aware, silent, relaxed, a natural state. If you can stabilize this, your mind will finally enter sati, and you will understand what I try to teach you all this while. When your mind is in sati, silence, stillness, experiencing the tranquility, the stillness of mind, that is your true mind. That is the meditative mind. That is the mind that can understand many, many things. So this year, because of condition, you will be able to progress very fast. Then read through the notes. Spend the next 10 to 13 days before the retreat to read through the notes. Then you have time, read through the Heart Sutta to whatever you can cover, just read through. Then cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Then familiar yourself with the chanting book. Yeah? The chanting book retreat version is slightly different from the normal version. At the retreat version, we do more things. Mm. Then we also have the committee member who will brief you on all the things that you need to bring along, the conditions there, and they are the one who had helped us organize all these things. Mm. And they need your cooperation to bring about great success for the entire retreat. Yeah, coming. Yeah. We haven't really officially start. This is just a briefing. Today, Suyan. Where is Suyan? Suyan, who is doing the briefing for the logistic and all those things? Oh, you are. Okay. I will pass the mic to Brother Suyan. But before that, for those who just came in, you can come and collect the notes from me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Suyan, you use that wireless mic. Yeah. Those who just came in. Serena. This is the set of notes that you have to bring along, the program sheet. Yeah. Yeah. That's about all. Yeah, this one all you have, isn't it? Yeah? The Heart Sutta, cultivating the Bodhisattva and the chanting book. Yeah. Then in front of your cushion where you sit, there are four new books. You can take it back. Come. Yeah. Retreat program you put in front. These are the things you have to bring along. That one. Retreat program in front. After that, you go through all this. Then you have this book. Good. Then there are four new books in front, the cushion there, you can have it. Then whatever book for distribution, if you don't have, you go and have a look. Then you can collect them. That's about all. Okay, Suyan, I pass over to you.
Suki Hotun, good morning. I got a backache, so got to sit down. This year, it's fine. You know, this year our retreat starts on Friday the 16th. So don't be mistaken. Most of the years our retreat start on a Saturday. So this year's on a Friday. So the bus pickup is on Friday the 16th. There are two pickup points. One of them is in SJBA, Subang Jaya Buddhist Association. The second one is Brother Teo's house. The notice I sent out this morning is 7:20 in SJBA and 7:50 in Brother Teo's house. In true Malaysian style, everybody will try to be a little bit late. They will always arrive. So on many occasions, when we sell them 7:30 and 8 o'clock at 7:30, still people say, I'm on the way. So try to be early, because basically we are trying to catch the lunch in Cameron, so we cannot afford to be late. So latest by 7:30 in SJBA, the bus leaves, and 8 o'clock over here. But I think Brother Teo's program has a 10 minutes briefing and chanting over here.
If we got enough time, if not, we can just go to the bus and do it on the bus. It's all stated in the retreat program, but make sure you're punctual, because ours is not Malaysian time, ours is retreat time. Retreat time, you must arrive early. Otherwise, if you miss the bus, too bad. Suyan says, see you in Cameron. So you either rush to SS2, my house, or you go all the way out yourself. So if you miss the Subang one, you can still make your way to SS2. Adelaide, I pass you the notes. Come.
So this year the retreat is on a Friday, so that's the day before the school holiday starts. So hopefully the traffic is not that bad. Normally the journey is about 4.5 hours with about 15 minutes toilet break in Tapa. So based on that, roughly we should arrive Cameron about 12:45. So we should arrive Cameron at about 12:45, and then the lunch is at 1 p.m. For those from Penang, I understand their bus arrives Tanah Rata at 2:30. So I've requested Brother Teo to start the afternoon session at 3 o'clock. They're taking their own taxi from Tanah Rata to the temple. So we are staying at the Sampo Temple at Prinsang. The retreat officially 16th to the 24th. Some of you may leave early. You have to make your own arrangement if you are leaving earlier. I've made a provision to come back on the 23rd just in case the election was on the 24th. That was earlier arranged. But anyway, the provision is there just in case the Prime Minister decides to call election very quickly. So there's a provision to come out back on the 23rd. As for 24th, we're leaving morning after breakfast, so by about 9 or 9:30, we're leaving Cameron's, and then we should be back by about 2 o'clock to 2:30. Because Brother Teo got a dinner that night. And we're also rushing back because SJB is having the consecration ceremony, opening ceremony of the new building on the 25th. So that's the other part. Maybe let me brief you a little bit on the warm clothing. It is quite cold up in Cameron's. At night, I just checked last night, it's about 15 degrees. Oh, it's nice. For those of you that like to go to temperate countries, it's very nice. Be prepared. Make sure you bring sweaters. For me, when I went last trip, I brought beanie, I brought gloves. Socks, yeah, thick socks. Yeah. So make sure you are fully equipped. Also windbreaker, as Brother Teo pointed out, because we may go to the upper floor. I mean, there's a small hill behind the temple, and sometimes you can contemplate there, then you can see nature. So bring some windbreaker, and loose clothing are there. Do I miss anything? Your personal medication. Please remember, bring all that. There will be a briefing up there. Probably I'll get Yun Chan to do the briefing when we're up there. But the main thing, one of the most crucial thing is the noise.
No washing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I missed that. So it is altogether a 9 days retreat. There is no washing. So make sure you bring enough clothes for 9 days. The other thing is that we are expected to put all our shoes inside the cabinet. The abbot or the assistant abbot is quite strict about that. We tend to put shoes here and there, so put inside a cabinet. But the thing is, the cabinet is a bit sticky in the sense that when you close the door, if you're not too mindful, you just go grang. But if somebody is meditating, you get a shock, so be careful when you close the cabinet, just gently close the cabinet. I think that's about it. Any questions?
The main gate. Yeah. Don't wander out of the temple gate beyond 6:45 because you will be locked out. So if you are locked out, all the handphones are off, you find it very difficult to contact us. But you can still come through the hill. There is a walkway down where you can knock on the door there. Then hopefully people hear you. Then they will open up the kitchen door for you down there. Otherwise, you may have to try your luck whose handphone is not off.
Actually, the signal there is also not very good, so even when you call us, the phone is on, you might not get the other signal. So for those of you that are driving, make sure you arrive by 6:45 p.m. latest.
Then the other thing you should help each other is, if you observe your roommate is not around, better alert us. Then we call their phone or try to look for them somewhere. Mi Fong might have something.
I'm coming to that. Officially, it is on 8 precepts, that means we are having breakfast and lunch, but some of them are having some gastric problem or health problem, then they need to take an evening meal. So there will be a light evening meal for those that require it. And we call it medicinal meal. We call it dinner, but the Mahayana call it medicinal meal. And I'll make provisions for half of you to have a medicinal meal.
Yeah, that is good.
So about 30 lah. I mean, after that, if there are less people, then we'll adjust accordingly.
Should be okay. Yeah.
Maybe for the first day, I'll make everybody have lah. Just for the first
day.
As they're traveling. And subsequent days, it's just half.
Yeah. That should be good. Yeah.
We have roughly about 60 people on this retreat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any questions? Bring a hot water flask or something, that will help a lot.
Yeah, if you need hot water, then you need to make your cereal drinks. There are cups there, but you cannot bring to your room because this cup doesn't belong to you. You want to bring to your room, you bring your own cup. Come. Lei Hong, where is your other half? Oh, okay. I pass you the notes first, come.
Anybody not inside the group chat for Cameron Yogis? Everybody inside the group chat? You're not inside the group chat. Or at you. How can I meet? Okay, I'll add Tammy inside the group chat, that's one. And then any questions that you'll ask, you need to ask, you just ask inside the group chat. That's it. The other thing that I need is, some of you, I don't have your IC name and IC number for those on the bus. I need to buy insurance for you. Afterwards, you please let me have it. The most important thing left is the volunteer list, because there's a lot of things that needs to be done throughout the retreat. So each of you will be signing up for one activity, whether you're helping clean the shrine hall or the corridor or the help the dining area, toilets. Toilets, depending on whose perspective, sometimes it's the most popular, sometimes it's the least popular. But just share with you the experience in SJBA, Subangja Buddhist Association. There are people that have maids in the house that don't even wash the house or wash the toilet. They come and wash the toilet in SJBA. So I ask them, why are you washing toilet? They say, hey, got good complexion, ma. So maybe that's an incentive. But anyway, we need a lot of people to help maintain the toilet, especially the ladies' toilet, because there are two, downstairs and upstairs, and to keep it dry and clean. So after, you please come forward and volunteer which aspect you want to help us with. If not, then you will again put back into the WhatsApp group, and then we'll allocate all of you. For those that are not here, then we'll, whatever activities left over, we'll just put you for that activity.
Yeah, I think we'll allocate yourself. The committee member just decide. Otherwise, very messy. No need to choose. When you are at the retreat, you should do whatever is assigned. And do with understanding, do with a good heart. What you do with joy is very, very meaningful and very beautiful. It's a training. If you can still have aversion towards whatever you do, means you will never have peaceful mind. Because you got a lot of like and dislike, preference. And this is what meditation is all about. Dhamma is all about. When you understand the mind is different, it appreciates differently. Naturally willing to do, because this is something very wholesome, very useful, and it put you to training. You're supposed to develop mindfulness under whatever condition that you are subject to. You can't even except small things like cleaning toilet or washing toilet, then you have problem, because we are not asking you to wash the dirty toilet. They are all very clean. Okay, yeah.
One last thing. After I plan all this, then suddenly there's this SJBA's Brother Lim or Sumeru donated a Buddha Rupa to SJBA, 5'8". And the installation, we tried to choose the dates because the building just got ready. We got the CF and there's some renovation to do. No matter how we move the window, the earliest that we can move the Buddha Rupa in is on March the 17th. So I was the one that arranged the donation and all that. And it means I have to be in SJB on March the 17th. The earliest I can get up to Cameron will be on March the 18th. So during the journey up, I think Brother Pan will help me. I'll make sure both of the in SJB and here, I'll be here to for all of you to get on the bus. Then Brother Pan will do all the head count all the way up to Cameron's. To make sure. So there's Brother Pan, he'll help me with the first 2 or 3 days of the program. So I'll join you in Cameron's by lunchtime on the 18th.
Okay. Any other briefing by Pamasri or Mifong? Regarding the beverage, I think Mifong is in charge. So if at the retreat you got any problem, you can see any of the committee member. Mainly Suyan, Mifong, Pamasri, Brother Tiu. Then now we got Pang. and Pang's wife also, Angie, maybe you all can. Contact her. You contact her, she will contact Pang. So you don't have problem. and all the other Kailamita, the senior, they will be able to help you because they are very familiar. Then afterwards, when I go through the anonymous experience shared by that particular yogi, you will understand much better. Yeah, Mifong.
Yeah. Sorry, one last thing. For those of you driving, your destination is the Sampo Temple at Brinchang. So it's just before the Brinchang town.
Very easy. You won't get lost. You go all the way to Brinchang. You will see a Indian temple on your right. Immediately after the Indian temple, there is a junction to turn right. You just go in there. You can see the signboard. Very small. Sampo Temple. They call it the San Bao Si. Then you come the other way around, you go through the long way from that one is from Simpang or what, Simpang Pulai or what. Then it's the other way around. Then you will see your Indian temple on your left. The moment you see your Indian temple on your left means you have passed the junction. Then you have to turn back. But you're observant, once you observe the Indian temple, then immediately signal to turn left if you come from the other way. Other way is very easy. See Indian temple, signal right, then you turn in. If I'm not wrong, it's a one-way road. So you cannot actually go through. But if there is no traffic, yeah, it's a wide junction. If there is no traffic, you don't worry. You just turn right. I'll change it, one way. One way only. So you have to go one loop. Never mind. Just in case it is one way, you turn left, you follow that road all the way around, you will turn back the old road from the town, come back. The Brinchang town, you will come back. Then you will see the Indian temple in front of you on your left. Then you turn. Just before the Indian temple, you turn. You won't get lost. You ask the local people, they will tell you San Bao Si. They call it the Triple Gem Temple. Okay. Mifong, yes.
The beverages, we have quite a complete list. Actually, this is through the compassion dana by Sister Monica. She has really bought a lot. She offer. So we have coffee. We have 3-in-1, 2-in-1. We have Nestum. We have Milo. We even have biscuits. We have ginger tea and Liong Cha. So it is quite a complete list, and that will be set up at the usual beverage station. But if you have any special drink you have to have yourself, then you do have to bring it up yourself. Yep, thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice with Monica's generosity. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And also I'd like to thank the organizers. They have done a great job, especially Suyan, Mifong, Pamasri, Brother Tiong, and the rest. Yun Chan too. Yun Chan is not here today. Never mind. Normally she will be around. But warm clothing, remember, you apart from the heat tag, Uniqlo, the long john or what, you should also bring a jacket because during the early morning and late evening can be quite cold. then you have a jacket with your long john inside or heat tank inside, you are okay. But at night, when the temperature goes down to sometimes 12 degrees, but most of the time during our retreat, we are very fortunate. It's quite warm. We hit lowest, I think, 15. Seldom go below 15. But before the retreat, I was told they experience very cold, some like 9 degrees. But so far so good. The last few years, there were 2 years. You won't believe. Before we went, it rained like anything. Even the Sifu Tenshin was so worried. Then the day we reached, sunny for 8 days. Until the last day before the retreat end, sudden pour, very heavy shower, just the evening when we did the closing ceremony, the first closing ceremony. Then it rained. That's why the weather was very good, very good. Then they thought it was by incident, coincidence. Then the next year, again the same, no? After the 8 day only it rained. No? On the 8 day, I remember there was one Kayanamita, the dentist, what's her name? Sister what? Alien. He came and looked at me. Brother, I don't believe her. Again, it happened. He said, on the 8 day already, you know. Then I just smiled. Then you know what happened after that? Really, the closing ceremony, heavy shower. But only for 2 years. Then I think last year was most of the time sunny, no problem. Because you don't have the sun, at night it will be very cold. So during the day you have the sun, but it's very cloudy. But the sun is there. So weather-wise, most of the time it will be okay. But bring your warm clothing, because otherwise at night you cannot sleep, I tell you. There are people who use 2 or 3 blankets because they forgot to bring their heat tank. Long John. Then there was one Kayanamita. I think that year I happened to have extra warm clothing. Then you got sleeping bag, bring along. It will help you to have a good warm bed so that you can have good sleep. But if you are a true cultivator, meditator, no problem. Under whatever condition you can sleep, you just silence your mind, relax. And you will sleep. Okay. So that's basically what we need to understand. Now you can turn to your program sheet. I will run through quickly. Meditation retreat at my and our Triple Gem Temple, Brin Chang, Cameron Highland, 16 March until the 24th. March. So introduction, you listen. Come, I pass you. This meditation retreat caters for all participants who may be from different background or Buddhist tradition with varying meditation experiences. The emphasis here is on understanding the Buddha Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha, instead of focusing on methods and techniques of meditation. The below program was prepared to allow participants to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session, where most Dhamma understanding will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session from the 20th March onward till the 24th. Where noble silence, heedfulness, and the meditative training and actual cultivation will be emphasized. So this is the main core practice that we are going to develop for you. Then the main purpose and intent, you must read through and understand this very clearly. If you can understand this, your job will be very easy there. You will progress very fast. The first main intent is to understand and realize the noble teaching of Lord Buddha. We are sincerely cultivating the much heedfulness, needed heedfulness, or apamada, to, as advised by the Buddha before his parinibbana, via his Dhammapada verses 183, 21, 22, and 23, and his final advice, apamadena sampadeta. So these are all explained in the Heart Sutta book. Eh? You go and read it up. You go to the website, brothertheo.com, or my Kayanamita, Brother Theo's Kayanamita, you will see a very beautifully developed website where there is a search engine. You can search. You type in the word heedfulness, they will tell you in which part of the books this topic is. Then you turn to that book, that page, and you will have all the details. Yeah. Then second one is meditative training. Yeah? To train ourselves during the meditation retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness or silent mind with inner awareness. This is the most important, leading to the heedfulness from the moment we commence our retreat. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability and non-delusion as a sign of our respect for the way placed. So this clear comprehension is very important. Sincerity of purpose means you are very sincere in going for this retreat to develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, to develop the training of the mind to be heedful, to be mindful. You are not there to develop psychic ability or funny idea about meditation. You are not there to make yourself have the psychic ability to levitate, read people's mind. All this is not relevant. The Buddha didn't encourage all this. He in fact banned the monks from doing all these things. What you need to do is to train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it, to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So when you have these two combined, you will become heedful. Then the next one is domain of meditation. A lot of people don't understand. They thought they must go to the meditation hall, only can meditate, or a quiet place, an appropriate, suitable setting. No, meditation can be done anywhere, any place, any time, in the midst of life itself. So the domain of meditation is very wide. Even when you answer nature's call, you can meditate. Because what you need is to be ever mindful within, to understand the truth, the reality. That's why daily mindfulness, the silent mind, is very important. Without daily mindfulness developed, the silent mind cannot be. And because of that, you are not in a meditative state. You become heedless. When you are not heedful, means ever mindful, you are heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. That's why this mindfulness training is very important. And you have to emphasize it. Then suitability. Suitability is also very important. Do not be deluded again. Don't be foolish like before. Allow your thought to project. And worry about this, worry about that. You are at the retreat to train yourself. You're going to worry about what will happen when I'm not around at home. Is my children okay? Or will anybody feed my dog? And all. It means you are not making full use of your understanding to develop the appropriate training during retreat. Your mind is so distracted by so many things. Then after your mind get bored over the thing, the thought will tell you all this funny thing. Why so stupid, go and pay so much and come out all the way here to torture myself, make myself so miserable. Because your mind is miserable, that's why you have all this negative thought. But if you have the faith, Sada Virya, you are different. You are so beautiful. You have a lot of gratitude towards people, especially the community members who have arranged for all this. to give you the what they call wealth of the condition to receive all this Dhamma, all this important Buddhist teaching, and also all the beautiful transcript book, and the merits which you will accumulate and develop over the 90s, I tell you, is limitless. If you can understand, you are one of the luckiest, the very few luckiest who can develop all this wholesomeness. Because this parami can last you very long. Only when you understand later on, after you awaken, then you will really treasure what you have been given and you rejoice. Because this opportunity is very rare. And you have this condition and this opponent, and you don't know how to make yourself, you allow your thought to go and complete, means you do not have this clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means how you look at a situation. What is the most important time? The most important time is now at the retreat, etc. Then the most important people are the people around you. You can either learn from them or you can help them, and you can develop the cultivation where you have to interact with them. So the most important place is the location you are at. The most important people are the people around you. So make full use of it. Then the most important time is the present moment. Not to go and project your thought and trigger off all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. So this thought projection is the one true thought create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and all the wrong thought. But you are silent, quiet, peaceful. You will experience a different type of mind state. You feel so good, so full of joy, stillness, peacefulness, calmness, mindfulness, the clarity of mind. For the first time in your life, you experience the heedful living. Such mind state is so tranquil, so still, so peaceful, so quiet, so full of positive love or metta energy, compassion, and so wholesome, so virtuous, as compared to the heedless living when you are at home or in the midst of life. Most of the time you are agitated, not peaceful. You run into situation, problem, and throughout the day you got this like and dislike going on. And you got so much thing lining up for you to clear. Then sometimes you cannot clear, they haunt you, they create fear in you. So you will experience that type of different mind state at this retreat. Then when you reflect and contemplate to what you have gone through in life, you will choose the heedful way to live life. Then your life will become different. From that moment onward, you are very different. You are no longer heedless. You are always peaceful. So clear comprehension of suitability can give you this beautiful understanding. Then the last one is non-delusion, clear comprehension of non-delusion. This one you have to bear in mind. There is what they call the 10 defilements of insight. When you have progress in your meditation, you experience them. Like you see nimitta, you see light, your mind become very quiet, very peaceful, then you are very mindful most of the time. So you think that is sign of enlightenment, then you become complacent. Then you lost the condition to complete training of the mind cannot arise, because through that complacency you will become heedless again. So clear comprehension of non-delusion means you are very mindful of the defilement of insight coming to trap you, coming to deceive you, and prevent you from continuing with your cultivation. Then the next one is learn to be at ease. Number three, naturally relaxed and aware. This is most important. We are heedfulness most of the time. Always move, speak, and act naturally, but with inner awareness. Means you are aware from within. Yeah, you are no longer heedless. Throughout the day, to stabilize your five spiritual faculty, which are your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, until they become very stable and unshakable. Then number four, with the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. This is the most important practice. When you are at a retreat, you have a lot of time to reflect, contemplate how to arise the right view. What are the right view? You can reflect, contemplate, and go through it. Then inquire deep into it. That's how the understanding can come about. Then what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, write them down. If you cannot write them down, you cannot understand them. Then you cannot put it into practice. Yeah, this is how I developed the understanding during the early days. Every time when I travel, when I'm at a quiet setting, retreat condition. Especially that trip when I went to Japan. The condition was so beautiful. I was with this group. It may not be the real Buddhists, but they teach Buddhist teaching. Except mindfulness, they change it slightly. They call it the science of happiness, happy science. There's a very famous site in Japan. But their temple, their soja are very beautiful. So when I was there, I contemplate a lot, I reflect a lot. Then they were having this seminar on Noble Eightfold Path. So that was a very good condition for me to apply what I have understood. Then I expanded on the Noble Eightfold Path practice. That's how I come out with all those understanding. And I was able to use it to help people, to share with people later on. So making use of the daily mindfulness or awareness that you have developed to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, we are constant creative contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths, leading to the perfection of all the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, or right living. Then the four right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the realization of nibbana, or cessation of form and mind, as taught by the Buddha. So this is possible, enlightenment in the here and the now. You got 9 days. Then in one of the retreat book, I think, coming out later, 28 December 2017 last year, I spoke about it. I said you don't need 9 days. If you are serious, you know what you are doing, you can understand what I write, 3 days is enough. You will become completely different. So bear that in mind. Then the last one is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhammas are the five mental hindrances or pancha nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty pancha indriya, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three right views of kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, the 12 links, the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment or sattabhujangas, dana, sila, bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. So all this, you can find them in the Heart Sutta book. Then you can develop the understanding of it. Now turn to the retreat program. So 16th of March, Friday. Remember, it's not a Saturday. Friday, get ready. If those who need to take leave, you better make sure it's inclusive for this Friday. So you can either meet at my house at SS2, number 8, SS2, stroke 80, PJ, for breakfast. You come at 7:30. Otherwise, you can arrive by 8 a.m. Those gathering at Subang Jaya, at JBA, latest by 7:30, as the bus leave for Brother Teo's house for second pickup at 7:35 sharp. So you come late, you will miss. Then you may have to rush over to SS2. Then when they arrive at SS2, usually it's about 8 o'clock. Then 8:10, we leave for Cameron Highland after a short puja at my house. Alternatively, to leave at 8:10 and have puja on the mast means if we are short of time, due to circumstances, we will do our puja on the bus. Then the rest you can read up. Then on the bus, we will be doing the briefing, introduction and fellowship, come sharing of the Dhamma while traveling. So it will take us about 4 hours or 4 hours plus. We expect to arrive by 12:30 at Sampo Temple. Then if you are early, those going up on their own, you can go and pay respect to the chief monk. We call him the Tang Chia of the Sampao Si Triple Gem Temple. Then I will hold a short briefing there to show you where the toilets are, the facilities are, and the rooms they are allocated to you. There are the exco people who were arranged to receive the key. Who is doing it? Parmasari. Then the allocation of room. Alicia will help in the allocation of rooms. Then you settle down mindfully. Put your whatever bags or what that you have brought along. Settle down. Then come down for lunch. So lunch at temple, 1 p.m. So usually it lasts about half an hour. So to maintain mindfulness and heedfulness throughout. Then 1:30 to 2:15 you can rest. Now you got more time. We are supposed to start at 3 o'clock. So you can check into the temple and settle down. Come have a bath for those who need it. Then for those who are early, they can walk around mindfully to familiarize themselves with the way place and pay respect to all the images that are worthy of respect. Then you learn to find out where the toilets facilities are, where the main hall, meditation hall is. It's on the first floor. Then also, the vicinity of the temple, I may have time this time to take you up to the hilltop where you can do your reflection, contemplation, and meditation. Because the setting there, the nature there is very beautiful, very conducive. The energy there, the great beings, their nature all there, they are so beautiful. So you will have a chance to understand all this. But remember, by 6:45 latest, you must come back. Otherwise, they will lock you up. Lock you out, sorry. Okay, the rest you go back and read. This is for your retreat understanding. Then we turn to the next one, the next page of the short notes. 1st to 4th May 2013, Mindfulness Meditation Retreat at Sampo Temple, Brinchang, Cameron Highland. So below is a very good write-up by an anonymous Kayamita to assist yogi attending meditation retreat there. We are sharing with them her own very useful and rather beneficial experiences while there. So this one I will read to you. Before the retreat, how this yogi planned. I have planned my cultivation seriously and I'm looking forward to the 5 days of mindfulness meditation retreat at Triple Gem Temple, Cameron Highland. I intend to strive on with heedfulness to progress along the path of Dhamma to realize my good and noble wishes via proper cultivation. My inquiry was, can true peace, bliss, happiness, understanding and enlightenment be realized by me during this retreat? So you must have this resolve. Not only ask this question. To develop true peace, blissfulness of mind, happiness, joy, understanding and enlightenment is not difficult. Can be done. I'm usually not a serious type, she said. But after understanding the danger of heedlessness, as frequently pointed out by Brother Teo, I had decided to seize upon this golden opportunity to seriously cultivate at this retreat. So earlier this year, I had already signed up for the retreat to immerse myself into the cultivation of the daily mindfulness meditation leading to the heedfulness and hopefully to become more wise. In fact, a lot of people who are serious, they have done all this. Then there is even one lady, when she decided to go to Rayong, she made that determination. So at first there were coming obstructions, she sprained her leg. Then later on she still go, because she determined to stabilize her daily mindfulness. And she did it. And there was so much joy, and so much thing happened when she was there. She had her sharing in one of the Tuesday class talk, I think. Those who have listened, they will know. Then we read on the next paragraph. To realize the silent, still, and peaceful state of mind that is free of all my usual fear, worry, and anxiety over my health problem, career problem, relationship problem, and other life-related problem is not easy, she realized. Then to see whether I could just stop for 5 days, all this heedless thinking, leading to all the fear, worry, and anxiety, and perhaps after that, I won't be heedless anymore. This is very important. I'll be more calm and peaceful, because by then I would be able to know the big difference between heedless living and heedful living. This is your point of understanding. When you can see the difference between the two, you will never go back to your old way. This is what this particular meditation retreat can bring about. Then after that, during the retreat, now you listen, this one concerns the retreat. On the 3rd day of silent meditation, apart from chanting the puja, I said just 14 words. All of them were in the course of asking a question. Experiences on day 1, 2, 4, and 5 were all very different, but they were really beautiful. After the 3rd day, not talking turned out to be easy. But mental chattering is not easy to relinquish. Initially, the mindfulness meditation was not easy either. But somehow, after the 1st day, it started to set in and later stabilized very quickly. It is just like a new way of living life with heedfulness most of the time, instead of being totally heedless throughout the day or most of the time like before. The 5 mental hindrance that hinders my mind from becoming peaceful and calm has been replaced by the corresponding 5 spiritual faculties, which are so wonderful. The spiritual faculties, especially Sada, Virya, and Sati, had enabled me to develop the composed, calm, and clear mind so easily, leading to my ability to understand the Buddha Dhamma so much easier. Understanding what is true mindfulness and heedfulness. This part is very important. As opposed to usual thought-based meditation, this is awareness or mindfulness-based meditation that can lead one to seeing things as they are without the interference of thoughts, and to awaken or insight into the 3 universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca, dukkha, and anatta. At first I thought the noting of mental intention that I used to do at other retreats was mindfulness. I was wrong, because I was doing it without understanding what mindfulness or sati is then. After listening attentively, you can go, no problem, to Brother Teo, and reading through his rather clear and simple Dhamma transcript and notes given to us, I was able to understand what mindfulness or sati really is. Then I was able to cultivate with understanding, confidence, and ease. It is just the silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. to be in a state of relaxed, silent inner awareness, to experience the moment without any reaction or movement of thought, is true sati. Since you can only do one thing at a time, you are either aware or lost in thought. Then you will come to understand that unless you are mentally silent, you cannot be attentive. You cannot be attentively aware via sati. Otherwise, you are heedlessly lost in thought, preoccupied with all the thinking and reaction of mind, without any inner awareness at all. Heedfulness or apamana means to use the silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So this part you must understand it. Then meditation becomes very easy. Then next paragraph. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha are twofold. First is just to train the mind to be heedful, following Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. Then secondly is to use it to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. As stated by the Buddha in his Fourth Noble Truth, if one cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering or enlightenment. So any meditation that does not lead the cultivator back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. As clearly pointed out by Brother Teo, this three turning of the Four Noble Truths was so clearly emphasized by the Buddha in his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, to the five ascetics. And it is stated that even he himself as a bodhisattva then had to understand this Four Noble Truth in its three turnings and 12 modes or aspects, otherwise he cannot be considered the fully enlightened one. The three turning can give rise to the three types of corresponding wisdom called Suttamaya Panya, Chittamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. The first type of wisdom, Suttamaya Panya, arises after hearing the sutta or discourse of the Buddha, whereas the second type of wisdom can only arise after attentive and creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha under his first turning. Only after Brother Teo's very detailed explanation of what this second turning wisdom is, do I really understand the importance of Dhamma contemplation and investigation to give rise to this second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. The third turning is all about meditation or bhavana, leading to the awakening. The second turning wisdom is the most important because it can lead to awakening too, if the cultivator's past cultivation is already very established. Otherwise, it will act as a very stable base for them to receive later truth from any of the three turnings cultivation. Dhamma contemplation is best done in a retreat or away place that is very quiet, with a tranquil setting, with a lot of very conducive supporting condition for Dhamma contemplation and wisdom to arise. Just like this Tripajam Mahayana temple, where the surrounding nature, the flora and the energy are so conducive for Dhamma contemplation. One just has to be in a naturally relaxed state of mind to do this Dhamma contemplation and investigation while standing or walking or sitting in the open or within the vicinity of the temple. When we silence our mind to reflect and contemplate on the beautiful nature within the temple and its surrounding, we will be able to perceive the great stillness, energy of nature there within our hearts. We will also be aware of all the flow of nature, like the swaying of the leaves and branches of the forest tree, the breeze, the cool, beautiful cool and breezy weather, the beautiful cloud formation, the chirping of the birds, and the beautiful insects and other nature's vibration, the beautiful sight and sound, all the colonial building, date trees, temple chanting, vibration of temple bells, moving cars and flowing stream, etc. When we are silent It is like our nature can take them all in. Our heart like open up to embrace them all as the great oneness in pure spacious awareness that is not caught in the proliferation of thought. Then we can radiate loving kindness and compassion to all beings, and we can also share and transfer marriage to them. As we do this more and more, everything we come to be aware of can become Dhamma for us to develop the wisdom born of Dhamma contemplation. We can perceive the phenomenal world so clearly and understand its conditioned arising nature, leading to penetrative understanding of the Buddha Dhamma or Buddha's teaching regarding anicchang, dukkhang and anatta. There was so much joy and realization. Even the dead trees with its pristine beauty, stillness and wonder seem so beautiful. Contemplation on death or maranatta-nusati is like so easy. There is only love and no more negativity. The mind is always at ease and peaceful. Mind is so relaxed, creative, silent, still and peaceful within. We can also see our own physical flow, like the blinking of our eyes, turning, bending, stretching, change of posture, etc. Mind and body as one, and always in harmony and perfect synchrony. And our mental flow, like every moment of perception, feeling, sankhara activity, such as our mental intention, reaction, thinking, planning, scheming, and consciousness, etc. As we contemplate and move around in a very relaxed and natural way, even nature's flow, like the moving car, the moving cloud, the moving plants, the sway of the trees, branches, and the various other movements and flow within nature, they are all so clear. Our typical day schedule activities start at 6 a.m. and end at 9:30 p.m. Interspaced with formal sitting and lying down meditation, informal walking and bowing meditation to strengthen our spiritual faculty, chanting, contemplative meditation to arise the second turning, contemplative wisdom, Dhamma sharing, meditation reporting and Q&A, followed by a sustained, continuous flow of daily mindfulness training. We are having a good religious routine. A lot of very important essential Dhamma notes given to us were also discussed and clearly explained to us by Brother Teo to enhance our Dhamma understanding. Then, 1.5, getting started. Most yogis normally arrive at the retreat place exhausted and burnt out. Especially so during the first day sitting meditation session, they started feeling tired, completely exhausted and useless. Their mind just cannot settle down to be mindful and aware, and there are a lot of random thoughts, and mind is just restless most of the time. But the retreat activities and training really helps, and yogi usually leaves the retreat free, feeling buoyant, light, happy, and much more relaxed, calm and peaceful. There is brightness in their eyes, and much more faith, clarity and joy in their mind. Their body too is more relaxed, upright, light and fresh. When I checked in, I was assigned to the dormitory with double decker bed. I zeroed in to look for a nice bed and was happy to note that the toilet facility with the hot water system and hotel-like condition were available. You got hot water there, huh? Don't worry. But then I remember I'm here for a retreat. To cultivate simplicity and silence of mind, I felt apprehensive. I missed my children, but I didn't miss my BlackBerry. It's the handphone, eh? Walking outside a few minutes after dinner, my anxiety was calmed by the great beauty and rather conducive environment that this temple has to offer. The beautiful nature and natural settings surrounding the temple too were superb. The weather was just nice, cooling, and surrounding air very fresh. Then daily meditation there, from doubt to joy and confidence. Meals were vegetarian, simple but healthy, fresh and delicious. We learned to move around, gather and eat mindfully. One of the few sounds at meals was the particular clicking of utensil heating dinnerware. I really appreciate the silence at this time because there is no occasion to chat about hometown, job, family, problem, joke, etc. After dinner, we had puja chanting, followed by dhamma talk and meditation instruction, while most yogis were silent most of the time to cultivate noble silence. Some were not. Noble silence can only be appreciated when one has developed it well. So if you have not developed it well, you cannot appreciate. We started our first formal sitting meditation with instruction to understand what is meditation and what we are doing in the name of meditation. So this is very important. Bhatio explained to us clearly why yogi who had yet to train their mind is heedless and think a lot most of the time. It is due to the presence of the five mental hindrances, and he teaches us how to develop the opposite five spiritual faculties to counter this hindrance. We are cultivating our puja and contemplating on who the Buddha is. To develop the understanding, the faith, the diligence and perseverance. How to reverse our heedless thinking? We are using the mind sweeping method to feel and relax only. No more thinking. And the use of metta to lighten up our mind state to bring about inner well-being. This is followed by anapanasati training to stabilize our sati and mindfulness. We are anchoring it to the breath, which is always within the moment. Just relax and aware at the nostril area to feel the breathing. To attend only to our breathing. If it, the sati and awareness wanders off, just patiently return it to its training without any reaction or judgment. One of the many easier said than done instruction. But if one is patient enough, it is easy. Then learning how is easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. After all, we are here to train and tame the heedless mind. I went to sleep the first night, tired, uncertain. But unlike many other nights, I had a good sleep. Then 1.7, sinking into the meditative training or meditation training. There were signs posted everywhere to preempt questions and remind us to be mindful, aware, and more considerate. There are signs in the bathroom about turning off light after use. Be mindful to maintain noble silence and taking out the trash. There were also signs in the kitchen about how to eat and move around mindfully and clean up. Closing door quietly. Handphone to silent mode while in the meditation and retreat hall, etc. We woke up at 5:45 and get ready for morning chanting at 6:15 followed by formal meditation. Then we had our breakfast. After breakfast, we had our chanting and reflection, followed by formal meditation, group meditation. After that, we had our meditation report cum Q&A session, followed by Dharma sharing. During this session, I learned and developed a lot of understanding from this group sharing. We maintained noble silence most of the time to cultivate daily mindfulness and daily Dharma contemplation during our waking moment. Also, the collective energy of the group meditating and cultivating together over a sustained period can help improve, motivate and show up each individual's effort and ability to meditate. We meditated on cushion, floor mat or straight back chair. Each person customized his or her own spots with cushion or little kneeling platform. Cross-legged was the predominant position. The first day I looked around and copied other postures to find the right one for me. But no matter how I settled in, at some point I was itching to move. I was the only one who could not sit with ease. The silence was intimidating. What if I cough? Just scratching my arm sounds like scratching cats. By the second full day, I was more calm and mindful and my meditation improved. At the beginning of the retreat, I was longing for the bell to ring during formal sitting meditation. But towards the end of the retreat, there was sitting at which I looked forward for it to be longer. And the ringing of the bell was like a bit too fast. 1 hour of awareness meditation was like so fast. Then 1.8 is walking meditation. The advice by Brother Teo for walking meditation was to walk naturally in a very relaxed state of awareness. Always be at ease, but aware within. The walking can be slow or fast, up to the individual. And the main idea is to slow down the mind and not the bodily action. Always remember this. By anchoring it to the kaya so that the mind is always silent and within the moment without thought. When you are able to walk in a very natural and relaxed state, following the normal day-to-day speed until you can be aware of your breath, body and mind moving as one, then you are in sati. And you will become more and more mindful. It's like training yourself to master Tai Chi or Yoga. The slowing down will happen on its own, and your movement will be like a flow, and they will be very graceful. Then you will be able to maintain awareness or mindfulness of all action, movement, and activity within your kaya or physical body naturally. You will come to be aware of the birth and death of every footstep, followed by the arising, sustaining and passing away of all phenomena like the blinking of the eye, the movement of your limbs, hand and leg, and your entire body, the turning, bending, stretching and sensation within your kaya or physical body as you walk. They will all be felt by your silent mind with clear awareness within. Just continue to be mindful and don't try to know anything, because the awakening or true understanding will arise by itself when you are silently aware of all phenomena, without any reaction or judgment via your direct seeing with the silent mind. The awakening doesn't involve the thought at all. Then 1.9 is meditation guideline to help you maintain the cultivation after the retreat. According to Brother Teo, many yogis are unable to continue their cultivation after the retreat. And they always complain that it is very difficult to cultivate while still working and living the household life, because the environment is just not conducive and it is so difficult to maintain the silent mind with constant awareness and mindfulness to live life. They realize that after the retreat, within a short while, maybe only a few days at the most, they are back to their old habit of reacting, getting angry, unhappy, fearful and heedless lifestyle again, because of society's condition, which are very challenging, competitive and at times very harsh and aggressive. But they will say opportunity to continue your cultivation in daily life are possible, and it can be done if one is sincere, diligent and serious about liberating oneself from the shackles of delusion and suffering. The daily mindfulness that Brother Teo had taught us, if done with understanding, can develop to allow one to cultivate this stable daily mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness in the midst of one's career and household life. No problem at all, because Brother Teo has done it before, 20 over years ago. According to Brother Teo, the world is not a quiet place, even when civilization is less developed. Distraction and problem created by the deluded mind via our mental projection leading to fear, worry, anxiety can arise any time, because the world is the world and living beings are just the way they are. So without wisdom, all phenomena created by the mind will be grasped at, and they will intrude into your mind and cause you suffering. And then there will be no peace. But peace, silence and stillness are within us. So if we can develop the wisdom, the understanding via the direct seeing as taught by the Buddha, then we can see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment so as to be at peace with all things. Then liberation from suffering is possible. All these are so beautiful. My this retreat experiences had taken my spiritual journey deep enough to hold me through the long drive home. To get me and my family started on a home practice, I plan to diligently and sincerely keep cultivating until I realize the enlightenment, or at least able to settle for just a slightly calmer, a more peaceful and wiser mind. by an anonymous Kanyamita, April 2013. So you can develop this type of understanding after the retreat. You are beautiful. Okay? You can rejoice if you want to. So go back and read through slowly. All the notes are very useful. Then there are four new books. Lesson 4, Lesson 9, Lesson 54 of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Then there is a very important book, Importance of Having Mindfulness and Heedfulness to Cope with Life's Problem and Suffering, A Method of Stress Release via Meditation. So this was based on a Sunday Dhamma talk that I deliver in the year 2013, June 23rd, 2013 at SJBA. Because at that time, a lot of people have depression, life problems, situation. So that talk was meant for them. So this is a very important transcript book, the whole of the talk and the Q&A, they were all there. It can help you to develop the understanding. Okay, that's it. Do you have any question? You don't have? Ah, yes. Pass the mic to her. Where's the mic? No, for the recording. For the recording. Yeah, there are people who are not here. They may want to know. Preferably white, but you can mix, no problem. But if you have white t-shirt, it's the best. Then your pants, if it can be white also. But as long as plain color, normal t-shirt or what, it's okay. What is important is your heart, your understanding. It's not what you wear, but we do not want to create the impression that we are not serious, in the sense that you wear those flowery clothing, the hot pants, or then that is, I should say, not appropriate. Understand that there is nothing right or wrong with all those things, but the society will view you differently, and we have to be mindful. We are using SJBA's name to apply for permission for this retreat, so we don't want to end up causing SJBA unnecessary gossip and problem. And so far our relationship with the temple committee is very good, especially the Tangjia, Tangxiang Sifu. They like us because we are very different group, very, not to say disciplined, we really serious about the training and the understanding, and they can observe us. Then the other thing you must remember is when you see the monks or the nun, smile and acknowledge them, you can say sadhu or sancha or whatever, amitofo, or just amitofo. So that is to develop the joy in your heart. If you are so serious and so tense, you are not a meditator, understand? Means you got a lot of problems inside and you don't know how to relax and free. The meditation is to train you to be peaceful, to be happy, to have joy, to understand life, so that you can live this type of mind state and experience the difference between what you have been doing all this while. So the purpose of retreat and meditation is to go there and train your mind to be a better person, to develop the Buddha Dhamma, to understand life clearly, so that it can help you to improve your life, develop the understanding to be a blessing to all. Okay? Thank you. Sadhu. Thank you for the good question.
Yeah. One other thing that I forgot to mention is there are sitting cushions there. Let me try to locate the photos of all the various cushions. One of them is slanting in the Mahayana styles. There are some that are buttoned round. There are some are just cushions. But there are roughly about 60 of us, so I think each of us will only have one. Some in the past were trying to get two cushions, or there may not be enough for two of each. That means some are trying to put one button on top of a sitting cushion, so there may not be enough. If you have your favorite sitting cushion, then bring. But the only thing is that there's a bus, and there's only so much space. That's one. The other thing is, like Brother Teo said, it can be very, very cold. Some people bring their own sleeping bag, which is shawl or something, or something covering the neck is also useful. But some people bring their own sleeping bag at night, and that could be useful, but then again, there's only so much space on the bus or in the car or whatever. So you don't want to look like going camping with so many things. That aside, anything you're not sure, just ask in the WhatsApp group. I think the rest will be interested in the answer. Ah, yes. Brother Teo normally do some morning exercise in the morning about 6 o'clock. So you can either bring weights, you can get from Daiso, or you just bring 600 ml, 500 ml water bottle, two of them. Or you just bring two water bottles empty, then go up there and then refill.
This
time. This
one is 1 kg. This is very light.
You can bring 1.5 kg or 2 kg, 2 pounds, but about 1 kg. Yeah? So I will teach you some exercises which will help you to develop mindfulness and muscle, build up your muscle, and maybe develop the chi flow. Is to improve your health. These are the exercises that people do to develop the what they call stretching exercise, the mindfulness exercise. Then also to help you to strengthen your breathing. You got any friend or people who may not attend this particular briefing, but whom you can pass the notes or what to them, you can collect from me. I think Sui An has quite a number. He said many of them cannot come for the briefing, but they will receive the notes through Sui An. Okay, if there is nothing else, then I think that's all for today. Maybe what you can do is we will do the closing puja. We will share merit, transfer merit, and you can make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 1.5 hours or so. Then we will share and rejoice with all the wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chobumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itawata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yao nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to all the great beings.